A great pleasure it is to welcome the team from Pinnacle and Microsoft to this edition of What's Next. And we're going to unpack some incredible solutions that Microsoft brings to the table. AI very much topical at the moment. And it's incredible when you think about what you can do today using Microsoft products. Now, John Press is the sales and marketing executive within Microsoft Device and Partner Solutions business in South Africa. Michelle Willifield is the Microsoft product manager at Pinnacle. And it's extraordinary, guys. You've both been in the business for a long time. And it's just amazing how far technology has become and the products that we use, the Microsoft products that we use in our day-to-day lives. It's extraordinary what you can do with them today. But let's touch on some of the important stuff like security, which is very topical at the moment. And I want to throw this first question at you, John, because, you know, the trends around Microsoft and what you guys are seeing around security is really important, especially when it comes to remote workers. You know, we all thought after COVID, everybody would go back to normal. But certainly that trend of remote working is yet to stay, and it's partial in a hybrid mode, whatever it might be. But the fact is that people are working remotely. How does that impact security? What is Microsoft seeing?
Yeah, I think it certainly is a very interesting time. I think, you know, the advancements we're seeing right now are certainly a lot quicker and a lot faster than anything we've seen in the history of certainly my time at Microsoft. You touched on the security topic. I think what we're starting to see is that as a result of some of the, you know, the work from home scenarios that came about through COVID, there was certainly a requirement around the management and the security of devices now operating within an environment that quite frankly was, you know, was not familiar to a typical IT organization. And I think, you know, this really was the foundation for a new set of security requirements, you know, bearing in mind that people were operating off personal devices at home, not necessarily having direct access to that IT department. And I think, you know, with that came the acceleration of malware and threats, particularly impacting, you know, enterprise and small business. And so, you know, Microsoft has really, you know, come together to come up with a range of different offerings that that help you to secure that device and help you to secure that data in a way that makes it a lot simpler for IT to manage.
What is Microsoft's approach to its own security, John?
Yeah, okay, I think it's an interesting one. I think, you know, fundamentally we operate on a leased access model where, you know, users would need to authenticate firstly, and authentication doesn't just mean that they're putting in a password. You know, it's biometric access. It's making sure that we understand where the user is logging in from. Are they operating within the same environment that they typically do? Are they accessing from the same geography, the same location? And so, you know, so the first step is really understanding what the user's behavioral patterns are and where they're accessing that that network or device from. You know, the second portion to what we're having a look at is, you know, what are the bits of information that the user's needing access to? And, you know, we provide leased access to the user based on what that requirement is. And it's a predefined set of data points that that they would access, you know, on. And on that basis, we then determine what levels of data access they would have. And as a result, you know, restrict them to the data that they only require.
All right. And then when you look at an individual, right, with an individual device, what role does an individual device and operating system play in addressing security? I guess that's also very critical, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, what we're finding is that, you know, the device is such a significant function of the entire security story. You know, and obviously we're moving to Windows 11, and Windows 11 has really been designed with that security of the user in mind. You know, it really is the first port of attack, as it were. And you know, if the malware or the threat is able to, you know, is able to be accessed from the device, you know, that's really your starting point. So make sure that you have a secure device. Is absolutely critical in the entire security stack.
Let me bring you into this, Michelle, because you talked about end of support there, John. the Windows 10, lots of talk around end of support. When does Windows 10 reach its end of support? When should we start panicking?
So, Ryan, so we should actually mark our calendar because the clock is ticking. So as of today, we have 575 days to Windows 10 end of support, which is 14th of October, 2025.
14th of October, 2025. So it's just in a year and a half's time, that's when Windows 10 end of support comes. Okay, that's an important milestone. I mean, what are the implications of Windows 10 reaching its end of support? I guess that you're not going to get support, and there's also going to be some security issues around it, I imagine. What does that mean?
Right. So why that is so critical? So earlier this year, there was an article released on Engineering News about in the total Africa footprint, South Africa was 42% of malware threats, ransomware, and hacking. That's a massive footprint if you look at the entire Africa continent. So South Africa was highest. So it's critical that we, all of us, start having Windows 10 end of support and Windows 11 upgrade discussions with our customers now. Because of security, Windows 11 Pro upgrades and device refresh for non-eligible hardware are a now discussion and has to happen. So Windows 11 Pro, the Intel Core Ultra processors, and Wi-Fi 6 all tell the story of being AI-ready.
Yeah, that's the big one, of course, and the way at which AI is gaining momentum at the moment, you know, you need to be ready for this. So what can be done to mitigate the risks of using an unsupported operating system? What does one have to do?
I think, Aki, it's really about understanding, you know, the devices that sit within your environment. Firstly, are they upgradable to Windows 11? And I think that's really the starting point. You know, provided, you know, those devices are upgradable and they meet the minimum requirements and minimum spec of Windows 11, you know, I think the next step is really, you know, making sure that those upgrades are being made. And if not, you know, that the new devices and the new, you know, Windows 11 ready devices are being deployed within the business. You know, I think interestingly, we don't have very much time to Michelle's point. You know, if we're thinking about October 2025, typically what we see is that around a 300 user organization can take well over 400 days to make these changes. And so, you know, the clock is ticking. We don't have a lot of time in terms of, you know, of meeting those requirements of end support. And I think, you know, what we're trying to avoid as well is that the industry is expecting a big rush towards that end of support date. And really, you know, the warning is not to wait until the last minute, because we do expect a backlog of supply from the various PC OEMs. At that point, in which case, you know, you'll be left without the necessary security checks in place.
Sure, that's such a good point, you know, the 400-day mark. You know, it's not something that you can do in 3 months. You need to prepare yourself for it. You need to make sure you've got the right hardware, et cetera, et cetera. And Windows 11 is amazing. I've been using it, and I just love what it's got built into it. And I love the AI and all of the stuff that we're going to unpack in a moment. But, John, when you look at Windows 11, you know, if you compare it to Windows 10, what has changed and what makes it better for users?
Okay, I think, you know, the first thing I would say is that as much as there's a number of feature and productivity benefits that come with Windows 11, I would start by saying that, you know, the principle behind it was to make it as seamless a transition as possible. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that your applications from Windows 10 run on Windows 11. So that was, you know, that was a fundamental requirement of the development. You know, secondly, I would say that there are a number of things that have been integrated from a productivity standpoint to make it easier to navigate the operating system. You know, so small little details like elevating, you know, where the mute button is when you're on a conference call, you know, to the taskbar. It's small little additions like this that have really sort of enhanced how we use our PC. And again, you know, coming back to the era of sort of remote work, these functions and features are really important. But I think the most important is really, you know, the security and manageability aspects. And we touched on security briefly earlier. From a manageability point of view, you know, the ability to remotely deploy devices, you know, through products like Autopilot is a big deal. You know, I'll give you an example. I recently picked up a new PC from our IT department. They hadn't so much as provisioned that device. I got it home, I put in my login credentials, and everything was pushed down, you know, to me via the web. So, you know, the idea that an IT department can now remotely manage and deploy devices frees up a lot of time for them to do other things and other, you know, other elements of IT management. So you know, that functionality certainly sets 11 apart from 10 in quite a significant way.
Yeah, no, and I love some of the suggestions that Microsoft took from users themselves, who said, you know, we want this back, we want that back. And on top of all of those improvements you discussed, those are all there. And it just makes that whole workflow a lot easier, I find. AI is very much topical at the moment, and Windows 11 is designed around AI. So how is AI used in Windows 11 to offer improved functionality, John?
Yeah, I think, again, you know, AI is going to be the cornerstone of all the feature enhancements. And it's something that you're going to see as becoming very pervasive across Windows. And it's not just in Windows. You're going to see, you know, AI coming into play in the form of Copilot, which is, you know, Microsoft's digital assistant, you know, running across applications like Word, PowerPoint, Excel, etc. And it won't end there. I think, you know, the whole concept of Copilot is that it's your digital assistant, and that, you know, regardless of where you are on a Windows device, Copilot will play a role in assisting you to carry out a lot of those functions. And so it goes beyond sort of the large language models and, you know, what people would be familiar with from a ChatGPT point of view, and moves into an area where it's accessing your data, your files, your content to come up with, you know, really intelligent solutions that make your day-to-day work much easier.
Michelle, what do you love the most about Windows 11? In terms of the functionality on Windows 10, what are your favorite features? Everyone's different, right? And I love asking this question to different people. And it's just how you use it as a user. So what are your favorite features of Windows 11?
So I've been lucky to play around with Copilot on Windows 11. And for me, the best features are summarize. When you have those long Teams meetings at the end, you need to, you know, remember what are the action points. So you ask for the action point, you ask for summarize. When you send emails, then it tells you that's a little bit rude. Maybe you would like to rephrase that a little bit. Or you get those emails. Everybody gets them. I know I do often, where someone sends you 3 months worth of mail trail and says, please help, see below. And you have to read through 3 months worth of emails to figure out what you mean to do to assist. So that for me is critical, because that saves so much time. Something that could probably take you about 45 minutes to figure out takes you not even 11 minutes and you've resolved the issue. So for me, that is great. That falls under that, how do you pull back time? How do you become more productive? And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, listen, the Copilot is amazing. The more people that I'm hearing using it and really getting that functionality and understanding the functionality and unlocking the value, because it's such a powerful tool. But for those who are hearing the word, well, those who have been falling asleep and not paying attention to what's been happening around us, John, tell us about what is Copilot, firstly. Tell us about Copilot, because that for me is Microsoft's incredible product of the last few years. So what is Copilot? How do you explain Copilot to someone you meet in a lift for the first time?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Aki, because to your point, you know, sort of AI is not something entirely new. I think the fundamental difference between, you know, Copilot and something like a ChatGPT is that Copilot sits, you know, on top of your applications, on top of your data, you know, to provide insights and assistance in many of your day-to-day tasks. And I'll give you a couple of examples. So, you know, if you're looking to draft a marketing plan, you know, simply by going into a Word document, you're able to put the topic of the marketing plan that you're looking to create, you know, adding in details and context to what you're creating is really important. But the interesting part is that it's not simply going onto the internet and pulling down, you know, some information based on you know, a topic, a theme, or a brand. Mm. It's going into your documentation. So if you've got notes that you made around a particular topic, you can ingest those notes, you can ingest that information, and it'll use that as context to creating that marketing plan. So there's a level of intelligence here that comes into play that goes way beyond just a simple, you know, chat function. You are able to, you know, to utilize, again, you know, your data, your contacts, your information, whether it be from notes, Word documents, or PowerPoint presentations, to come up with, you know, with content that really, you know, gives you a good starting point on creating some of these documents.
Well, at the end of the day, context is everything, right? I mean, you can get AI to do anything that you want, but once it's got that information to work off in your own environment, it makes a difference. And I guess that's one of the big differences of Copilot, and that's why it's different to ChatGPT, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, we call it the graph, and the graph is really, you know, taking a combination of what sits within your Microsoft 365 account, whether it be your meetings, you know, your contacts, your documents, and your data, and infusing that with content from the internet. And that's really where the magic starts to happen.
Yeah. And can one use Copilot right now? I know it was in a beta mode for a while, and I'm hearing a lot of people using it. It's an add-on license. Can you use it right now?
It is available, and I think it's really important to understand that there's many variants in the Copilot offering. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to start with, you know, when you do upgrade to Windows 11, you will have a dedicated Copilot button that sits on your taskbar, okay? And, you know, moving into the future, we're going to have dedicated Copilot buttons added to our keyboard, which is, you know, something that is fairly unique, because we haven't had a change to the typical Windows keyboard layout in many, many years. So I think it speaks to the, you know, the advantages and just how big a deal Copilot is going to be, you know, looking into the future. So, you know, you will have that Copilot integration. Now, Copilot, you know, to go beyond what I was saying around document creation and some of the applications, Copilot will play a role in, you know, your settings. So being able to create audio prompts to adjust certain things, whether it be turning up your music or adjusting a certain setting within your Windows settings. So that's kind of infused at the OS level. And that's in the initial stages. That's, you know, that's a service or a Copilot offering, again integrated into Windows 11.
Okay.
We then move into the versions of Copilot that can be added to your Microsoft 365 account. Now that's a paid for service. You know, it'll be sold as a monthly subscription, and that's what starts to then you know, make magic in terms of your documentation, your data, and interpreting, you know, your needs around a particular output or a particular function. So a bit of a distinction there, but I think, you know, as we move through the different variants, there's going to be a consumer version, there'll be a, you know, a commercial version. Both of those will be paid for services. But, you know, again, you're getting a far higher degree of functionality out of those paid for versions. That, you know, really bring those applications together and give you that additional functionality.
That's very cool. Now, can I, for example, anybody that's watching this, they're probably going to be asking, can I run Copilot on my current PC?
Well, I think, you know, what's important to understand is, you know, do you have Windows 11 as a starting point? Because I think, okay, you know, that's fundamental. And, you know, Windows 11 has really been designed with Copilot and AI in mind. So, you know, I would say as a starting point, you really want to think about, you know, what is your hardware setup and what version of Windows are you running? You know, from there, it's really a case of you know, activating the application. You do have a variation of Copilot that sits within the Edge browser. And again, you know, I think that speaks to the work that's been done around search really providing you with a far more intelligent search experience. Again, you know, enabled by Copilot in the back end.
So, John, Copilot is amazing. I mean, I've used the built-in one into the browser, et cetera, et cetera. I'm using, for example, Business Standard on an enterprise level. So it's the basic business product of Microsoft that I pay my monthly fee. But, you know, as a small business, I'm not as big as the banks, for example, have got thousands of licenses. And I know that Microsoft's got a complex licensing system. So how do I get Copilot? How does the average person get Copilot? Can they get Copilot? How does it all work? If somebody's listening to this and says, I want Copilot right now.
Yeah, I keep your question. I think, you know, if you're a cloud user, a Microsoft cloud user, and you have a Microsoft 365 Business Standard as your M365 product, and that's what you're currently using, provided it's a cloud SKU and not one of our what we call full package product perpetual SKUs. In other words, it's a cloud offering with cloud storage, etc. And yes, you will be able to go into your account and add Copilot as an optional add-on to that offering. So it is enabled through your account. If you are an enterprise user, obviously then I would suggest that you connect with your partner of choice, and they would then be able to enable that within the tenant that you happen to subscribe to.
And then what about home users? Can they also use, if they've got Office 365, for example, the lowest version of Office 365, can you still get Copilot on that?
Absolutely. So there will be a consumer user version that will be made available. We're just waiting for final details around, the pricing and when that's going to be released to consumers. But absolutely, that is on the roadmap, and we expect to see that shortly.
Fantastic. And then finally, I want to ask you both this question. I mean, Michelle, you touched on some of your favorite features, but the reality, when you look at all of this technology and you look at how Microsoft Office has changed over time, you know, with it being up on the cloud in Azure, and it just makes our lives so much easier. So what's your favorite feature of Copilot?
So first of all, what I think everybody needs to remember is that Copilot is not there to do your work for you. It's there to assist you and inspire you. So if I'm typing a Word document and I feel like, oh, this is a little bit flat, it needs a little bit of flair, next to the little Copilot button, if you click on it, it says can research further or inspire you. And if you click on inspire you, it just gives it that little bit more sparkle. So that's what I absolutely love about it. And Microsoft is very clear about responsible AI. So they're saying, use the feature, but you need to check it. Don't assume everything in there is 100% because it pulls. If you take a PDF off the internet and you say, summarize this, it could be just someone that's loaded it. So you need to check it. It does a lot of the work. It does a lot of it to assist you and inspire you, but be responsible.
Yeah. But I mean, for me, I think the people that have to take minutes during Teams meetings and then have to type them up afterwards and put them together, I mean, Copilot is just a massive revolution for them, right? Because, you know, you just press the button and you say, you know, summarize, give me the minutes from this recording, and boom, it's there. I mean, what a pleasure. I think for me, taking minutes is just the most tedious task in the world. So what are your favorite features, John, from Copilot?
Yeah, I think you stole a little bit of my thunder there, because I was gonna use exactly that example. It's probably the one that we're using most extensively at Microsoft right now. You know, the fact that it's taking a transcript now of the meetings that we choose to record, but more importantly, the outputs from those meetings is really what's, you know, where the value lies. So, you know, transcript is taken. The summary notes will be published from that meeting. And any actions assigned to individuals will be highlighted by Copilot. So even if you're not in the meeting and something was mentioned in terms of something that you need to follow up on, you know, again, this is where that Copilot, having access to to the users within a particular organization. It's intelligent enough to know that, you know, John Press wasn't in that meeting, but there's a follow-up action. We need to notify John, and I'll get an email to say that there was an action for you in that meeting, you know, and here it is with the link back to that particular transcript or that section of that meeting. So a massive time saver. I think, you know, one of the things that we have seen through COVID is that this sort of remote meeting overload has certainly been a big theme. And we certainly can't be at two meetings at the same time, although sometimes we try. This allows us to now, you know, decline the less important meetings, but still have a sense of exactly what happened within that meeting.
Wow, super exciting times, and who knows how far this is going to go, because it's extraordinary how far we've gone already with all of this, and I think that it's so difficult to keep up with all of these changes, and I think that by in the next few years, if we continue at this pace, you actually just cannot imagine or try and picture what it's going to look like in the future. But it's certainly very exciting, and the technology is making our lives a lot easier, as you've heard from John and Michelle. And a big thank you to John Press, the sales and marketing executive within Microsoft Device and Partner Solutions business in South Africa. Michelle Willefier is the Microsoft Product Manager at Pinnacle. Thank you so much to both of you for joining me and unpacking the importance of Windows 11 and Copilot, and of course that countdown of shifting from Windows 10 to Windows 11, what it means to businesses. Start the process right now if you're watching this. Thank you both of you for joining me.
Thank you, Aki. Thank you.
Aki, yes, you good. Thank you very much.